Welcome to The Harvest, Atlanta's home for information and inspiration for living your season of life with grace. Brought to you by Senior Provisions, your resource for true solutions in senior care. From life planning to home care to assisted living, Senior Provisions is your trusted resource in navigating the harvest season of your life. Now, here's your hosts, Hans and Amy.
Good morning and welcome to The Harvest. We are so glad you're listening today. And as with always with the show, we pray that we are informing you, inspiring you, and that we bring glory to our Lord. I'm Hans, and I'm seated next to my beautiful bride, Amy.
I think I'd like my new thing to be Amen. I kind of like that. I heard that on one recording that we did, and it sounded good.
It's a good thing to say Amen on.
Well, I think because it's a prayer.
It is.
Thanks. So good job.
Wow.
Early well, it's good to open in prayer.
Well, we're so glad you are listening. I'm just trying to think of like our current events.
We're down a man.
We are down a man in our household. We have enjoyed the text from our daughter. She is away in Washington, D.C. this week on a choir mission trip, a youth choir mission trip that has been absolutely amazing. We are so blessed with our music ministry pastor and his wife and all the support that they have through our church. She has been in Washington, and I'm just thinking back to, and she comes back today, so we're so excited
Woo-hoo!
To welcome her back.
My favorite redhead, coming home.
But I just think you have to know, like, Mark, our pastor, music minister, he just crafts these trips with amazing events, mystery, surprises. It's unreal how talented he is and how gifted he is at putting these things together. So we got a text Tuesday morning from our daughter saying how she is in line to go see, to go visit the White House, take a tour. And that was not on the agenda. That was just absolutely a out of the blue surprise. And she was just elated.
Oh, no. Gave me goosebumps. And to, you know, open up Life 360. Yes, our kids are on Life 360 and your kids should be too. and to see our daughter on the White House lawn.
Yeah,
it was
it's
awesome.
Amazing.
I mean,
you just
that
look at the history
so
of events and, you know, politics aside, you know, our country and our government and our nation's buildings are, it's an amazing privilege to walk through that.
Well, I would love to also do, you know, that's kind of our current event, and I'd like to take some time to do a couple of announcements. And we've told our community partners out there, our faith community partners, if you have an event, we would love to make an announcement on air. We can't do all of them, but I know I'd like to announce that First Baptist of Atlanta, their Meridian Adults, that's their adult kind of, I mean, they don't call them senior adults. That's their Meridian adults. Middle age.
Yes, they've named it the way they want to name it.
That's right. They are starting a Faithfully Fit exercise class on Mondays and Wednesdays. And you know, we are all about brain health and exercise.
Amen.
And
I threw that in.
Oh, thank you. Move it or lose it. So you can contact Patty at 770-234-8281 or go to First Baptist Atlanta and look for that Faithfully Fit class. And also, we have a great organization out in Gwinnett County, Mending the Gap. We love Mending the Gap.
Mm-hmm.
They have such a beautiful concept. They collect personal care items that seniors would normally have to go out and purchase on their own. And they are a nonprofit, so they are completely run by donation and fundraising. And they collect these items. They put together over 250 bags a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out to the lower income senior housing and they deliver these bags. And I'm just telling you folks, the folks at Mending the Gap, thank you so much for what you're doing, because it is such a mission. The items that you're bringing are sometimes the only personal items that those seniors get.
Well, and not to get too deep into the weeds, but you know, they are rationing those personal care items because of their limited budget, and nutrition obviously suffers because they're not spending the money that they would need to spend on proper nutrition. So it's just a big picture. It's an amazing outreach.
It is. They've got an event today. If it's not too late, from 3 to 7, today, Saturday, June 8th, out at the Salvation Army in Lawrenceville. It is an event, and they've got a speaker, and it looks like they've got Carrabba's Italian Grill is sponsoring. And they are stamping out elder abuse by having an elder abuse awareness event. Mm. So it's not too late if you're not doing anything this afternoon. Go check it out and stop by. If nothing else, bring them a bag of adult briefs.
There you go. Well, if you have a community event that you would like us to share on our show, please reach out to us at seniorprovisions.com. And also, I want to thank a sponsor in the beginning of our show. We want to thank Carrying Man in the Van for their support of the Harvest Radio Show. They are a trusted resource for transportation. They cover the entire greater Atlanta area. And to learn more about their services, please go to carryingmaninthevan.com.
You're going to love the ride. Yes, I have to say that for Scott's sake.
That is a great slogan.
It's great. Well, and we can't, before we go to our first caller, I definitely want to mention Senior Provisions, who's also a sponsor of our show. And Senior Provisions is a family-owned, faith-based senior care consulting company. Their advisors are ready to help you navigate through senior care options, and you can reach them at seniorprovisions.com. Any senior care question you have, we would love to answer it on air, but they would love to help you actually answer it in real life. And our services are 100% free to families. So you can reach them at 888-979-8783.
All right. Well, let us get on with the show.
On with the show. I love that.
We have a caller on the line. Good morning. Thank you for calling The Harvest. What is your name and how can we help?
My name is Melinda, and I have a question.
Fire away, Melinda.
It's about my father-in-law. He's been living very independently for very many years, 33 years, in fact, since his wife died, and had done a pretty good job of it until recently when we're seeing signs that maybe he needs more help and he's not asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
We would like him to have a frank discussion about moving to some sort of community setting.
Right.
But he's quite resistant. Can you help me with a strategy
Certainly.
To help him see, you know, our concerns?
For sure. I mean, this is the question that we get day in and day out. I mean, this is the tough conversation. And I'm so glad you called with it because it will help out lots of people listening.
Well, I had a couple of questions for you. Melinda, thank you so much. This is Amy, and I'm so glad you could call in this morning. How old is your father-in-law? How old did you say?
96.
Oh my gosh. Well, we and I say this all the time. I have a special love for those super seniors. It's so funny that you say that. I've got five grandparents right now, living grandparents. I was blessed with my blood grandparents, and then with some awesome step grandparents over the years. And I have five living right now that are all over the age of 90. And the one I think is going to probably live the longest, if I had to make a prediction, is the honoriest. And she knows who she is.
Yes, she does.
And she would wear that medal. So there is something to longevity and stubbornness a little bit, but Hans is so right. And you said he has been living on his own. And do you all live close by?
No, there are three children, and the closest is, you know, 100 miles away.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. Mm. So that makes running over and doing some things around his apartment kind of a tough thing. And even managing things from a distance is hard.
Right.
Wow. Well, I think there's a couple of things that come to mind for me. And I mean, we're certainly going to talk about some options. So we're not going to leave you without some direction. But I think the bigger thing to think about, too, in a big picture is this honoring our parents. I mean, I think mm-hmm. we all from very young are instilled with this desire to be obedient and to please our parents.
Yeah, it's deeply rooted.
It's deeply rooted. And I'm sure your husband has such a sense of that, you know, his, you know, father was involved in his life and you know, that he has the sense that he wants to honor him and honor his wishes as well. So I think I'd like to talk a little bit about that as well today, because I know a lot of families struggle with that. So sorry about that. And is that something that your husband has struggled with a little bit?
It's a debate that we have had for some time in the family. We're well aware of our Christian duty to honor his father, but we're also in the middle of, I think, that transition from who is parent and who is child.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's sometimes very difficult to know when you should let the long-time head of the family continue to maintain control. His control is very important to him.
Yeah.
And I suspect to other, as you call them, super seniors.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we see things that, you know, if he lived with us, I just wouldn't let it happen.
Absolutely. Well, if you would hold on a minute, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Melinda about honoring her mother and father. Hold on 1 second.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone.
Caring man in a van. Companies open every day based on a need recognized. Hello, I'm Scott Chamberlain, owner of Caring Man in a Van, and my story is not different. I experienced transportation firsthand with my mother and found the service to be, well, let's say less than satisfactory. For the last 12 years, we've provided transportation for senior citizens and the disabled, offering wheelchair and stretcher transports with the quality and personal attention you would expect. We guarantee on-time service, clean, comfortable vans, certified drivers that are attentive to your needs, plus the promise you'll never experience transportation that is more enjoyable. Visit our website today, caringmaninavan.com. Call toll-free 855-342-1566. That's 855-342-1566. You're going to love the ride.
Do you know someone who is living with Parkinson's disease? Every 9 minutes, someone in the U.S. is diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. The American Parkinson Disease Association's Georgia chapter is here to help. Every day, they provide the support, education, and research that will help everyone impacted by Parkinson's disease live life to the fullest. For reliable information, local educational programs, and caring support groups, please visit apdaparkinson.org/Georgia. Or call 404-325-2020.
Welcome back to The Harvest. We're so glad you joined us today. Before our break, we took our caller. Her name is Melinda, and she is asking about kind of how to bridge that conversation with, I think it's her father-in-law,
yes,
who is 96, living independently, but showing signs that is not working out as well as it has over the years. And just, you know, how to have that conversation about what help looks like, whether it's in where he's living, or if it's moving on into a assisted living or something that has more supportive systems in place. So, Melinda, thank you again so much for calling us, and I'm sure there's a few more questions we have before we kind of get into, like, you know, what cues up for solutions to this, but we appreciate the conversation because it is universal.
I was thinking, too, we were talking a little bit about honoring your mother and father, and Deuteronomy 5:16 came to mind, and
yeah,
I thought it would be worthwhile to just take a minute and share Deuteronomy 5:16.
Mm-hmm.
Honor your mother and your father as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live a long life and it may go well with you. And I probably have that memorized because I have spoken that one, that scripture to our children. It is a commandment with a promise.
Right.
So be encouraged, Melinda, as you all are honoring your father-in-law. It's not always about just honoring his bad wishes, as you're learning.
Well, it's truly, I mean, I think, too, it's a scripture we all learned, most of us have learned in our childhood, and it had a context there in childhood that centered mostly, I think, in obedience, but in the light of what you're talking about, Melinda, with this transition with a parent that is moving from authority to in need of support, that obedience turns into, I think, advocacy, where you, again, don't honor bad decisions, but you honor the life he's lived and who he is in your life and your father or your husband's life, and you step in and help make better informed, better cognitively developed decisions in his behalf. And I think that's the transition we're talking about. So
So some of the signs of trouble, I'm going to ask you a couple of things, you know, that we see is poor nutrition, poor hygiene, bad med management, money management issues. Is that any of that ringing a bell for you, Melinda? Are these some of the challenges that you also saw presenting themselves with your father-in-law?
Sure. He's lost weight. I don't think he's eating properly. When I look in the refrigerator, yeah, he's ordered food. Fortunately, he has been internet active, and you can get food delivered online, but I don't think he's eating it. You know, the raspberries are going bad, that sort of thing. But he's thin. What really scared us the most, he fell victim to one of these scams, where these criminals will call an elderly person on the phone and pretend to be a family member who's in need of, you know, bail money wired to Alabama immediately, this sort of thing.
Right.
And he fell for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he'd been living with us, we would have been there and we would have made sure that he understood that is not your granddaughter calling you.
But he
insists that he knew perfectly well what was going on and so forth. So, you know, what do you do?
I know. Well, I would like to say let's start with the path of least resistance. And part of our job is to talk about all the options. So, you know, the path of least resistance is him staying where he's at. And how do you support a senior? I mean, we have you know, older adults that absolutely, I was telling Hans a story the other day. I said, I distinctly remember a gentleman crossing his hands, looking me straight in the eye. And he said, I will move out of this house over my dead body.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it becomes that challenge of how do we put supportive services in place? And, you know, you're talking about, you know, first of all, looking at the home environment and is that accessibility there? Is there, you know, can
he have access to all the things he needs for his activities of daily living, cleaning, you know, bathing himself, cooking meals? Does he have capacity to do those things?
Yeah.
And then safety. Is he safe doing those things all by himself?
Then, you know, you can talk about bringing any of those services in. You can talk about, you know, home care. He runs around $20 an hour. So, you know, you can pay someone to come in, do meal preparation, housekeeping, home maintenance, even set up med management, all of that. But there is a huge cost. So then you start to look, especially at 96, you know, a lot of older adults are at the kind of the end of the life of their resources as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they've spent a lot of money. They've been retired for 20 or 30 years. And so clipping away at, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars a month can be, you know, it can be a little, it can be taxing, and it actually can just be downright an impossible thing. So there's a lot of that we can certainly do assessments. We can talk about what all of those services look like. Have you all tried some home care at some point?
On a very limited basis, he has been fortunate that he has not had, you know, hospitalizations and long-term chronic, but we have had some nursing assistants come in from time to time, and he's not a fan.
Again,
the ornery character that you mentioned earlier, who may be the one who lives longest, I think we have a similar situation.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, transportation becomes such a major issue as well. And you mentioned you all don't live very close. And, you know, doctor's appointments, transportation to grocery stores, even though, you know, nowadays you can get just anything about.
Right. And it's good that he is online savvy and that some of those things can be bridged in that gap.
Absolutely. We have a gentleman that we were blessed to enter into his circumstances. His daughters lived out of state, and he ordered food, but it was exactly the same thing you're describing. He kept losing weight, and, you know, they were spending hundreds of dollars every month on prepared meals, and they were just rotting in the refrigerator because he'd forget they were in there. He couldn't figure out sometimes how to work the microwave.
Well, and for him, it was, I think, the little cracker sandwiches that were like, well, it's so much easier to unwrap that and eat that than it is to get up and go to the, you know, freezer or whatever and figure out how to cook this and what is it really inside.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could just see the cognitive roadblocks that were forming in his decision making.
Some other signs of trouble, I just want to make sure as folks are listening, you know, poor nutrition, weight loss, poor hygiene. You know, if your mother has always been well kept and she has stopped washing her hair and your dad stopped shaving, you know, some of those dirty clothes, mm-hmm. and incontinent issues become a major issue too later in life. And so as you're spending time, I always say families can put on, the older adult can put on a great show in front of at family reunions, but there's some things that just give them away.
Yeah, that 1 day, two day window or four hour window, they are on point. But yeah. Beyond that, you start to see the crooks in the works.
So I would encourage everyone to definitely explore the option of keeping someone at home. In fact, Melinda, I'm going to share with you. I mean, as soon as I have a client who's over 90 years old, if there's resistant to moving, senior provisions is in the business of placement and moving families, but I am so reluctant to make that an absolute, what am I trying to say here?
Yeah, an
ultimatum.
An overriding goal. Mm-hmm.
Because I have seen older adults at over 90 stop eating, refuse their medication.
They just shut down.
And they shut down and they give up. And I know, you know, that's always in the back of your mind is this move going to be too much for him? Do you have that concern at all?
I think that in his case, it really gets back down to making sure the family's not aware of these issues that he's having. So control is just really important.
Mm.
So I'm not sure that he fits quite the same mold. I have seen some of those issues that you're talking about, though, and he's, again, if we're there too much, we know too much,
mm-hmm.
and he really doesn't want us to know too much.
Yeah.
Well, in that generation as well, they're very private with their money matters, private with their relationship matters. And, you know, they came, that's the war generation, and,
right.
and they came home and they didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
just went on and they went to work and they raised their families, and that was their coping. And I think that you're someone who does have a lot of that control. That is tough. And so, I mean, like I was saying, the path of least resistance is staying home. And I always say sometimes that feels like a Band-Aid.
And sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is a Band-Aid.
But it's also, like you're saying, I mean, he's very self-aware. And so I think just the nature of problem solving and helping him walk through the challenges you see and the ways of resolving those challenges and your willingness to consider multiple options, I think builds that trust. I mean, that's what we're talking about is building that trust between the generation gap where, you know, you've got a grown adult that's lived a very fulfilled life with lots of life decisions, and you've got a younger adult child or a child-in-law who is, you know, trying to advocate and ensure that their safety and dignity preserved. And I think informing and having an open dialogue and present it like problem solving is a really important key to come alongside them.
Well, and I think giving him some of that control. You know, if that's a desire for him, that is a need for him, then helping him to be very involved and controlling the things that he can control. Well, Melinda, I hate to say this, but I need you to hold on one more minute. If you don't mind, I want to get to what are some other options? What do those look like versus staying home? And then I want to talk about some strategies for some tough conversations. Would you mind holding for a minute?
Bit.
Okay, great. Thank you for listening to The Harvest. We'll be right back.
Ain't no river wide enough, baby.
If you need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far.
Don't worry, baby.
Just call my name. I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry.
Oh, baby, there ain't no mountain high
enough.
Welcome back to The Harvest. I don't usually get to
say
that.
Excellent job. I mean, well, it was okay.
Well, great. Well, if you are just now joining us, you're thinking, why are these people so happy? We're happy because we have an awesome caller. Melinda has been patiently holding through a commercial break, and we have been talking to her this morning about her father-in-law and his transition from living at home, very independent at 96, and we just finished talking a little bit in the last segment about the staying home options.
Right.
And I thought we really need to talk about moving into a community. That's really the other option. You either stay home or you move somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, in some ways, it's pretty simplistic. Now, very much a lot of information. So, Melinda, I thought I would just kind of broadly go over some of that information. In this, some of this you may already be aware of, and there may be some new things. Let me ask you this. Are you all open to the option of him moving?
We actually think that would be the best thing. One of the issues Hans mentioned earlier is, you know, whether the home is really adequate and safe. And while it's condo, it's got good features for aging in place. Obviously, he's been there a long time. But he's let the apartment go and is resistant to things like lumpy carpet that needs to be replaced. No, there's nothing wrong with the carpet, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
He's had falls. He'll continue to have falls. So between that and the need for somebody to be able to respond in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
We thought a community setting might be best.
I would probably agree with you. I haven't met him yet, and we're going to definitely get you connected with one of our senior care advisors who can do a full personal assessment and really understand fully his needs and you know, talk about costs and all of those things. But just in general, if someone's thinking about moving into a community and really with the needs that I'm hearing, we're really talking about an assisted living environment. And assisted living really is exactly that. It's a environment, a community where there is a layer of 24 hours of care. And I have a lot of families say, my dad doesn't need 24 hours. You know, he can get up and get a shower and get dressed and It isn't necessarily about where they start, but it's as they progress
mm-hmm.
in needing more and more care.
Or those instances like a fall where you have no idea what time of night, what time of day that is going to happen. And to have that layer available and ever present is what you're looking for.
Absolutely. That good day, bad day scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say, you know, tell me what your best day looks like. And I want to know what your worst day looks like. Because on the worst day in assisted living, you've got staff around the clock who is checking on you. You wake up and you are under the weather or you're feeling dizzy. Guess what? You've got someone right next to you walking you into the bathroom and making sure that you are you're preventing a fall or catching you if you're falling. So And not only that, some other...
Yeah, let's talk about just kind of the pros and cons.
The pros and cons of it.
This is a longer-term solution. You know, the stay at home and bring in supportive care, that is typically a short-term solution. It works for a season until things advance to a point where it financially doesn't make sense to have 24-hour home care, and the cost just is, you know, the cost
prohibitive.
Cost prohibitive. And this is, you know, a place where typically a lot of facilities, the right facilities, will let them progress and keep them in the same environment or transition them to a new environment, but all within the same facility. And you're not worried about that fourth quarter discharge where, you know, hey, we've reached our limit and he needs to move on.
This is what we're talking about. And I'm assuming, Melinda, too, if you were looking at something, you would want somewhere where he could progress all the way through end of life. Is that correct?
Well, certainly that would be the goal.
Okay.
Is, that he can stay there through memory care if he needs it, through hospice care if he needs it. The other side of that, though, is I don't have to tell you, there are so many assisted living facilities.
In Atlanta, yes.
Wading through all the information online, scheduling the tours, it's just overwhelming
for
the family, let alone the elder.
And you're going off of their best face, you know, their best marketing campaign put on a website. And you have no idea if you know, what their price point is, you know, what their proficiencies are, where they fall short in their care program, and the longevity of their staff. And, you know, we could just go on about all the things that can't be known from a website page. And then you've got to book the appointment. You've got to drive. You've got to walk through the tour to realize, to the best of your knowledge and experience, that something doesn't ring true here. Something seems not right. And then you bring an advocate with you that walks these halls all the time and knows the questions to ask and knows when they see this, that, or the other, it may be completely overlooked. That's a sign that their med management is not working well, that, you know, I saw this happening. So you're very true. It's just, it's something.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most, I mean, I'm going to say if it's not the most important decision you actually can make for another individual. I always, you know, very respectfully think about when my children were little and trusting someone, entrusting them within someone's care. I mean, I think if all the more an aging parent, to me, I want to make sure that, you know, these people have been screened and criminally screened and trained properly.
Well, and also too, I mean, we also have to talk about the other benefits, you know, social interaction as a group of your peers. You know, I don't know how social your father-in-law is, but having that available is better than not having that available, and the activities that come with it. You know, and, you know, no housekeeping, that being taken care of, laundry, meals. I mean, there's a lot of benefits.
Well, the beautiful thing, Melinda, we haven't even really talked a lot about, you know, cost and all of that, but we're going to connect you with a senior care advisor and she'll go over that with you. We are blessed in Atlanta with so many options across a lot of variety of budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really great because we, you know, someone can get a great, what we call a care value. You can get great, you know, consistent care. You might not get all the bells and whistles, but you can get something within your budget. And it's really about our team knowing what's out there and what's good and bad and what's a good fit for your loved one. I want to encourage you. We're going to let you go here in a second. I like to think about these decisions in three parts. And that is, first of all, to take everything to God in prayer. And I hear it in your voice and just some of the things I've heard coming out of your mouth and your heart. I know that you and your husband have already done that, but encourage everyone to begin with prayer. Begin with humility. It's a and sometimes you can't avoid that. It is a humbling experience to search for care solutions for an aging parent.
Well, and you're dealing with somebody that is very acutely aware of their humility and how they're not able to do the things that they used to be able to do.
Yeah. And then finally, begin with wisdom. And with the wisdom that we get is the best wisdom we can get is wisdom from God. But there's also a lot of wise people out there. And I always say, if I'm looking for insurance or I'm needing legal advice, I want to seek out the best on that. I want to seek out people that live, breathe, and eat senior care every day. I can dig and I can dabble, but at the end of the day, I need someone who really knows what they're doing. So begin with wisdom, gathering information, and that's what we want to connect you with one of our very wise advisors. Melinda, do you have any other questions for us today before we let you go?
No, but thanks so much. I appreciate the help.
No, you are so welcome. Thank you for being on our show. Please keep listening, too. We're going to take a break in a little bit here in just a few minutes, and we're going to kind of talk a little bit more about these difficult conversations and how to kind of avoid the crisis mode.
Right, and we hope that there's some tools in that help you speak to your father-in-law.
Melinda, are you still there?
Yes.
We'd love to just say a quick prayer for you and just to bless this moment. Would that be okay with you?
Of course. I'd love it.
Father God, thank you so much for these ordained moments, these appointments where people of seeking your wisdom, seeking your help, you cross us and you intersect us at these ordained godly moments. And we just know that your presence is with Melinda and her husband and her father-in-law. And as they continue on this journey of senior care, Father, we just pray that you would be with them and just give them a peace. Give her father-in-law a peace as well as he's entering into this transition. And we just praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Melinda. And like I said, continue listening. We're going to, in this last part, we're going to talk about those tools for communicating those difficult and having those difficult conversations. So please listen on, and we hope that there's some good information in there for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, it's not always raining. There'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. When everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this.
Support for The Harvest comes from Thrivent Financial. At Thrivent, we believe money is a tool, not a goal. For more than a century, Thrivent has helped Christians make financial decisions that reflect their values and help them be wise with money and live generously. More than 2 million Christians count on Thrivent to help strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Whether you're preparing for your financial future or responding to a sudden change, there are ways to proceed wisely. Local financial professionals can provide one-on-one guidance to help you. To learn more, contact Greg Bickhart, Jennifer Yankowski, Kelly Goldsmith, or Rodney Hill at 404-U-THRIVE. That's 404-884-7483 or email thrivantseniorsolutions@thrivant.com. Thrivant Financial. Be wise with money.
Well, it's not always raining.
Wow. It's hard to talk over some of this music when it's so beautiful. Welcome back to The Harvest. And we are so grateful for Melinda calling in. What an amazing call. What an amazing question. And it just opened up a whole font of things to talk about relating to honoring our parents. So now the last part of this is really, how do we honor our parents as we accomplish the conversations that need to be had?
That is the million-dollar question.
And well, I think, you know, starting off where you did, and let me go back in my notes because they were good notes. Begin with prayer, begin with humility, and begin with wisdom. Arming yourself with information, I think, is a great place to start. So let's then go to the next step with these actual conversations.
Absolutely. And these are some great strategies for communication, whether you're talking to an aging parent, whether it's a husband and wife. I can't guarantee these would work with your teenager, but
no holds barred there. Yeah. No guarantees.
Yeah, that's a completely different show.
Mm-hmm. And but, it may involve foreign languages too.
That's right. So from adult to adult, these strategies are very simple, but I want to take time, first of all, to say start early. And that is probably where we're going to start, because that is one of the most important parts. If you wait and you're in the middle of a crisis, then the conversation and the communication level changes completely.
Right. And it sounds obvious, but we've all said, you know, I'm not going to go there until this happens.
Right.
And that we set ourselves up naturally for this crisis moment.
So let's speak to those people right now. Mm-hmm. And I know you're out there listening, and I love you. I'm going to just start with that. I love you. But if you are avoiding having these conversations with your family because of fear, there is no fear in God. And you are not helping them to love you the way they want to love you. So I encourage you to reconsider. And when your children or your spouse brings up these topics again, please consider prayerfully that you will be open to having that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm speaking directly to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also said this in the earlier segment, but you know, we have to go back to the point that we're talking about issues that are very humbling for the individual you're talking to, that is dealing with independence and losing independence and depending on other people when they've lived a life of, you know, accomplishment and service and all of those things. So you have to start with a position of humility.
Mm. Big, great strategy is to know who, I always say know who the favorite is. But I'll say it plainly and then I'll describe it. But include some other family members. And the favorite may not actually even exist within the family. It may be a trusted friend of the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It could be a peer of your loved one. It could be a friend at church, a pastor, someone that they really trust and respect. And it might be the favorite. And if you're not the favorite, let me just say this. If you're not the favorite in the family, and if you say black, your dad's going to say white.
Mm-hmm.
If you say up and he says down, get with the favorite. Call the favorite offline and speak to that brother or that sister or that cousin or that niece that can do no wrong and express your concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And chances are they are seeing the same concern and having the same concerns as you are about your parent, and help kind of get them on your team.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that seems a little backhanded,
manipulative,
but the biggest challenge in communication is just being able to listen to someone. And if you don't care for someone, or someone's hurt your feelings, or you feel like someone doesn't have your best interest at heart, you shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I remember specifically a conversation with a mother sitting across from her son at a rehab. And she was very lovely, but she was certainly not open to what I had to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And thought I just came in to move her into assisted living, which is what the doctor and the therapist were recommending.
The whole team.
The whole team was recommending, but I was the bad guy. And I don't mind being the bad guy. I play that role very well. But the son, who's sitting directly across from her, I mean, you could just see he was struggling. And I finally stopped and I said, and I can't remember her name, but, you know, I said, do you trust your son? And she just looked at me and she said, yes, I trust him. I said, now, would you trust him with your car? Would you trust him to you know, with your house keys? Would you trust him with your bank account? Do you trust him? She said, absolutely, I trust him. And then I asked her, do you think he loves you?
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, I almost made her cry. She said, yes, I know he loves me. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I felt like I was losing the conversation here.
I did take it down the wrong path.
But my point then was to her is, if you trust him and you know he loves you, then listen to him. Listen to the people around you that trust you and love you and want the best for you. Because when you're rehabbing, when you've had a medical event, when you maybe have some mild cognitive impairment and your problem solving isn't as sharp as it was, this is why God put these people in our lives. So they're blessings, and it is the time of your life to trust those around you that are trustworthy. Don't trust everyone, right, but trust those folks.
Well, and then here we go to the tough one, I think, is respect your parents' right to make their own decisions, even no decision. And that's where we get into a very important tool of setting up road signs. It's like, okay, Dad, you want to table this indefinitely. Let's put a road sign in the road that says when we've reached indefinitely, when this happens or this happens and this happens.
For men, it's a lot of times driving.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's driving. It's meal prep. It, you know, there could be a lot of things, and maybe you're already past that, and maybe it's the conversation about how you would have set up those road signs, and it's still a valid point to make to build that trust. And again, it's so important to come alongside, and that's where you're just sharing information, you're sharing perspective, and he can kind of see things, he or she could see things from your perspective in a way that they weren't willing to earlier.
I love that. Next tip for communication success in tough conversations is to break the topics up. Tackle them in tiny little pieces.
When you see the glazed over eyes and the nodding or the look away and I'm done, I'm shut down, you probably have buried yourself too deep to be productive anymore. So yeah, bite-sized pieces are very important.
Absolutely. You can't tackle care issues, legal issues, funeral arrangements, all of that on a Sunday afternoon.
No.
And then I love number 5, which says establish when to reevaluate and talk again. Know when to walk away.
Yeah.
And I just know when to table it and know, hey, we're going to talk about this again and, you know, in a couple of months or after the doctor's appointment.
And these are all tools, again, let's put it in perspective, to avoid that crisis decision where you've got to come down and something needs to happen because of safety and dignity. And you know, that will happen if all these things don't work.
These are emotional topics that can bring up a lot of feelings of fear, regret, challenge faith, agitate current existing family dynamics. It sounds like we need a word from God.
I have a word on this. Colossians 4:6. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Wow, that is awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And we want to thank a sponsor.
Yeah, we want to thank Thrivent Financial for their support of the Harvest Radio Show. They are a Christian financial advising company, and their goal is to help Christians be wise with their money while living generously. You can reach out to them at 404-YOU-THRIVE. Thank you so much for your support, Thrivent.
Thank you, Thrivent. And we also want to make sure that we don't forget to mention Senior Provisions one more time. Maybe we've talked about some things today, transitions and communication through difficult conversations with an aging parent, that has brought to mind some things that you need to address, and we're here for you. You can reach out to our advisors at seniorprovisions.com. You can also call us at 888-979-8783. And last but not least, we also want to make sure that you know that we would love to talk to you. If you have a question that we could answer on the show, please reach out to us. We're going to sign off with our foundational scripture, Philippians 4:19, that my God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And there is no greater provision than Christ Jesus himself. God bless and have a great week.